Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to I Am Resistance and the End Times. Fellow slaves, welcome. This talk is dedicated to creating a culture of resistance to industrial civilization, resistance to the evisceration of the living world, the land-based, and the exploitation of all creatures by the corporatocracy and oligarchy that enslaves and deforms our minds. Resistance to this insane culture of occupation that supports violence and oppression. We seek truth in a culture of lies, violence, and kitsch. This is a call to action to those who will listen, a call to unite, to stop this toxic culture before it is too late. We must defend and restore the land base before it is uninhabitable. We must work to end exploitation of all life and learn to live as awake, living beings in tune with life connected with the forbidden. Our only hope for the future, if there is such a thing, of the living world is to resist this insane culture. It must be stopped. Rebellion is the only way, and radical feminism is the guide to those who want to dismantle, not reform, the domination cultures and systems. Industrial civilization can be dismantled, and never allowed to be again. We must build a culture of resistance to fight the insanity of industrial civilization. We must fight. Support resistance anywhere you see it. We must recognize the reality we are in. Yes. I hope all of my friends out there, all two of you, are doing well. And, oh, what a week we have here in industrial civilization, technologic civilization. It's a distraction fest. Constantly, the masters have us so well trained that we can't see anything fascinating to watch. The masters of civilization have us so well captured that we can't see anything. I've been always obsessed with, in a way, with Spartacus, as I think any of us who read the stories or heard that story of the Thracian rebel who was a gladiator and basically rose up against Rome and fought a war. They called it the Spartacus War in 73 BC. Raised a 60,000 person army and fought Rome for 2 years and then was slaughtered. Sounds about right. sounds what we're accustomed to. But I talked about this before, is that's always been my inspiration. I think if you look at slavery and you really spend time with it, which I have, you really can see, and when you start to see that we are slaves, it's quite disturbing. But we work really hard, as though our masters, to work that hegemonic process to show us that we're not slaves, that we have choices, right? You watch the story of your enslavement, you see how the masters say, hey, instead of just beating everybody to get what we want, we'll make them think they have choices. Only within the confines of the prison colony, but you have them. And that always, it's they layer us. I'll read in a short time John Trudell, who I read this regularly, and I like to read it on this podcast at least once a year or more. I think it's very profound. But it's that when I came up with that, just popped into my head, I am resistance. It's that I am Spartacus in that way of saying we have to resist this enslavement. We have to resist it by first seeing that we are in fact slaves, which there's so many layers that tell us that we're not. And so then we just rely on belief, whether we want to believe it or not. And it's really that time people trying to be persuaded, even though it's like, it's quite obvious. But as the old, there's a saying by Upton, a quote from Upton Sinclair, is never underestimate the willingness of a man to not understand when his livelihood depends on him not understanding. And that goes for our culture. That goes for all cultures and civilization. They're all the same, you know. What's the difference between Chinese culture and American culture? Nothing. What's the difference between Russian culture and Chinese culture? Nothing. Nothing. Yeah, you know, what we see as difference is just things that we pick out because they might have a different food or drink a different drink. Then we'll be like, oh, wow, I got to go see Russia because they have vodka, or, you know, they dance cool, or I want to go to China because I can eat rice, or go to the Great Wall of China. You know, again, it's that tourist mentality that somehow they're different from us. Their McDonald's is the same. I read. I haven't been to China, so maybe it's completely different and I should be a tourist and go there. No. What I want to rant about today is singing everything. I just, you know, watching the divisiveness and the theater that is our culture and politics at this time is very endearing and fascinating, because it's fun to watch the left demonize the president, who, of course, is no question that in so many ways. But my always those same questions is, how is that president different from the previous president and the previous president and the previous president? It's like, what, you know, what's the difference? The president that won the Nobel Peace Prize dropped 26,000 bombs last year, which that's quite a bit of tonnage of bombs. And, you know, in the Obama administration, there were more drone strikes than ever in history. So I read. So the narrative is spun. But we have to question those things, and it's beside the point to keep us confused. I like to boil it down to slave or not slave. We're all slaves. Point of, do we embrace our slavery or do we work to resist our slavery? And clearly the consensus is to work to make sense of and inhabit the slavery. Make it our friend. Learn your coping skills. Build a psychology around it. Build a toxic psychology around something very toxic, and then pretend with all the will that we have in our imagination, pretend that we could somehow find joy and happiness, peace, and make, you know, and just create this ultimate delusion that we are good people, that we just want to be, you know, good, decent people living our lives in harmony, when nothing could be further from the truth. Now, let me pause for a moment. I know no one will call in, but I always forget to do this. And if somebody were to listen and said, you know, I like to call and just curse that DB out, the number to call here is 516 666 516-666-9487. That's 516-666. Shout at the devil. 9487. I need to be better at that, but, you know, who cares, right? We have to pick what's important. And clearly, for me, it's just mouthing off is more important than having a dialogue because, you know, I don't advertise. Because I don't want to be killed yet. That comes later. So don't kill me yet, you know, FBI, federal government. I'm harmless and you know it. Or am I? You know. So, you know, it's... you know, we're trapped in this malaise of distraction, and there's anger, but the anger isn't about the fact that we're slaves, but in the sense that we don't have the comforting enslavement that we want. We're not being appeased. We're not being placated the way that we want to be placated. We want, you know, to not be so in debt. We want to be more comfortable. We want, you know, more stuff. We want to be able to have the psychology that says that I don't have to feel bad about myself if I don't have what I want. But they don't see that the entire system is designed to keep them that way and that they facilitate it themselves. They have, as some psychobabblists would say, internalized their own oppression. And some great sociologists have shown that we take on the worst characteristics of our oppressors. So by being abused, as we're all abused, we become abusive and we feel very justified in abusing others. We don't even realize we're abusing because it's so normalized. It's normal. It's normal to become angry and abuse somebody. It's normal to abuse with words constantly. It's normal to be confused and not know how to live, but just follow the dictates of what the culture tells you. Because to deviate is to face the penalty of deviation, to become the deviant. To become the deviant is to be ostracized. The ostracized, you know, is to not belong. To not belong is to be outcast. And there's nothing we fear greater than other than death and torture. Perhaps we fear this more, is to be outcast. So we engage the orientation that is provided for us, and this is, as Eric Fromm would say, the having orientation, which everything we do is about having and possessing. There's nothing outside of that system. Though we are, the being mode is its opposite, shall we say, or its other mode of existence that is completely ignored because it's not premised on the ego self or the narcissism that is the cutoffness that we inhabit in the individual psychology that is promoted and indoctrinated. It's very powerful. We can never underplay it. It's always this running narrative of justifications and explanations that go unchecked, thoughtlessly. From the moment you go to do something, it has to be explained. There's no being. And the explanation is always within that discursive framework that captures our mind. I'm going to read this John Trudell spoken word. It's not super long, but it's so powerful. You can hear it in Subconscious War, which is, you could easily just Google Subconscious War and it'll pop up, and it's the most profound 30-minute video I've ever watched. It's just fascinating and so well done. And it has several thinkers that are just, you know, from Huxley to Neil Postman to John Trudell. I'd never heard of John Trudell until I watched this years ago, but have read him very much since. Quote, as a human being, it is our responsibility to recognize reality. Recognize the reality we are in. To recognize reality means you look at a thing every which way a thing can be looked at until you see. Oh, I love that. And you can recognize it, or we can judge reality. And when we judge reality, once again, our ability to recognize is limited by the prejudices of our judgment. Pause. He said he nailed this so well. It's until you see it see it. So many thinkers talk about seeing, not knowing, not using that filter that says, oh, I'm going to put it in these categories so I can make sense of it, as opposed to see it for what it is. To recognize reality is to see it for what it is, not what we think it is, not the projection of our judgments and our prejudices and the narratives that were spun. I'll continue. We have been imprinted with words that neutralize the feelings that is being projected by the thought. To believe and to think, you can't do both. Either we're going to believe or we're going to think. We project electromagnetic energy when we think. So when we're thinking, energy is flowing. When we believe, we've taken that flowing energy and put it into the box. There is energy that should be going to find its way into the universe so that we can create solutions being put into a box belief. I think what technologic civilization does is to suppress and erase the memory of the human being from us and turn us into citizens, turn us into race and culture and class, turn us all to all these other things that they then turn and make divisive. We are in a dimensional reality where we don't communicate as human beings. We don't identify as human beings because of the way to the distortions and imprintings that have been layered and embedded onto our consciousness. Whatever these identities in these things, I want to speak to you as a human being. We feel through the being, and we act through the human and our intelligence. This is the thing that sets it all into motion. Everything that ever happens is by how we perceive reality. It's based on our intelligence. Our intelligence. That's power. So whatever's going on, it's not about the absence of power. We have power. It's that we have been imprinted in a distorted way to perceive reality. We've been imprinted with trauma. Ooh, that's so true. To perceive reality through a traumatized mentality. So we use the power of our creative intelligence to feed on ourselves. And that industrial ruling class is like mining for them. They mine the energy of that being through how they imprint the human to perceive reality. They mine the energy of the being through how they imprint the human to perceive reality. The same way they mine oil. The same way they mine uranium. They mine the being of the human through how they imprint our perceptual reality, how they manipulate our intelligence. While they're mining the being part of the human with how they imprint to perceive reality, it leaves behind poison and toxic. In this poison and toxic are the fears and doubts and insecurities that become part of our perceptual reality. And once they set in, we participate in this reality based on the perception of our inabilities, our fears. Our intelligence is the fuel that runs this so-called system. These kills me. There are certain things we just need to really look at. Every generation has the responsibility to create living reality and the way you want to live with the earth. We have the responsibility to do this, and it is irresponsible to keep ourselves chained to dark age controlling thoughts that are going to mess up the lineage of our descendants. So we have to think about certain things. Whatever this disease, aggression, violence, and greed, the having orientation, or whatever this disease mentality is, it lives in this life system now. It's eating up the spirit. You look at the leadership, or you look at the institutions that are held up in these esteems. None of these things seem to have any spiritual relationship with life. We leave as humans. When we leave as humans, we go back to being human being. That really means something. But we live in a reality now, a time where I say to anyone, protect your spirit. Protect your spirit because you're in a place where spirits get eaten. God, I love that. End quote. That's just so powerful to me. He shows all of it, how we are mined and traumatized to see reality only through the discursivity, in separation, in isolation, in loneliness, in self, the ego consciousness, the plague. We can't hear the voices that are around us. We only hear the voice of discursive thought of the trauma. So people will all say to me, well, what are we supposed to do? And what I always want them to see is to see. First, stop trying to problem solve, trying to explain. See reality. Don't just jump to a conclusion. Spend some time. I know we don't have a lot. We want people to see. But that seeing isn't believing. It's not a new belief system. It's not a paradigm shift, as Thomas Kuhn wants. That's what we expect. We're like, oh, what's the alternative? Slavery? Or you know, not slavery. So you're like, well, you don't even know what it's like to be outside as a slave. It's like asking the zoo animals to say, well, it's zoo or what else? And again, it's only within the zoo mentality, the prison mentality, that we speak. So we just do the same thing. We just, yeah, what everybody will say. It's like, well, how do you defeat the idea of patriarchy, of male domination? You don't. You see it for what it is and you let go. There's a practice that so many talk about, of the great thinkers, of the mystics, if you will. Eric Fromm nails it down, and it's very simple. It's simple, but it's so incredibly difficult because nobody does it and they don't want to do it. He talks about this. The conditions for overcoming selfishness. Number one, being aware. Recognize, oh, I love that word, one's egocentrism. Number two, awareness of the roots of the having orientation. So the practice is practice awareness, cultivate letting go. When we don't work from the premise of separation, of fear, anxiety, clinging, possessing, from that being orientation, we then can respond to what's happening. If we're going to rise up and end this atrocity, it's going to take more than just guns or personnel or tactics. It's going to take a kind of awareness. Awareness that doesn't just seek to replace one ideology with another, with one reductionist way of thought for another, one system for another system, when we know they're all the same systems. And they're like, yeah, we ain't got time to raise consciousness. And, you know, I get it. That's why I support any resistance I see, any. I hear people like I talked about a few weeks ago, it's a movement, hell it is. What movement? Movement for what? What are you talking about? There's no movement here. We're not moving at all. We're in the freaking cage. It's a cage. You're moving only within the cage. Until you break down those walls of that cage that you inhabit, there's no place to go. Until you challenge those dark age thoughts, that separation, that living without being, in this toxic psychology, this is where we will be. Just yelling at each other. I support, but yeah, what does that matter? You're an individual. Individuals do little. We know the outcome. We rise up and we get murdered. We piss off the oligarchy. They ruin our lives and take away that which we love. They have us in mind, body, and soul. And we have to take it back. And it starts with seeing. and not just reacting, with a sense of maturity to see that we are slaves. And what do slaves do? Resist any way they can. It's not about, oh, should I travel or should I not, or should I watch TV? These are all irrelevant when you see. Just see it for what it is. But I like travel. Fine. But just see it for what it is. Be clear with what you're doing. If we're all just going to live for ourselves, because much of what we do is, I know, I'm one of you, we live for ourselves. I got to make my own. I got to be comfortable. I got to be able to function in this traumatic cesspool here. I get it. We all get it. It's not about you're credible and you're not credible and you're a whack job. It's always worrying around judging everything. It's human beings in distress, human beings constantly being traumatized, raped and murdered, corralled and beaten, indoctrinated, brutalized, and it's all normalized. Hannah Arendt, the philosopher, said, How do you get people to kill other people, basically? How do you get people to live in a sort of totalitarian by making other people superfluous? Superfluous means that they have no value. None. That's what we did to the living world already. I don't care if I get out a thing of bug spray and spray a bunch of ants. They're superfluous. What matters is I don't want ants all over my shit. And my comfort takes precedence over the living world. Simple as that. And in that simplicity is the greatest atrocity that we don't even see because we're not aware of it. And our response is, well, should I not do bug spray? Hold. Yeah, you shouldn't because it's toxic crap. But that's not the point. The point is, see what I'm saying here. Don't just react and try to judge. We're so lost that we can't even put on our pants without someone trying to tell us how to do it. We're so lost. We can't discern. We just judge. We're so disconnected. We can't see anything. We just judge and filter everything through likes and dislikes. Likes and dislikes. It's insanity. And we need to take back our sanity. And it can't be done through the same psychological trauma that got us here. It has to be something beyond it. And they're like, how do I do it? How do I do it? Be present to and stop asking how, because there's no how. You have to see it for what it is by recognizing reality. It's right there before you. It's here right now. Ain't no magic to it. To see the truth is to see reality, not what you think it is. And since we are taught only to think in words and in language, we are lost to the discursive. Until next time, have a safe week. Resist any way you can. If we only have truth about